es el pueblo. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets, in the market she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate she speaks. How long, O simple one, will you love base people? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools have knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel, and you have none of my reproofs, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, who have none of my counsel, and despise all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruits of their bread, and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will grow secure, and will be at ease, and that bread of disaster. May the Lord add a blessing to the people. Gracious Father, we now do ask that you may speak to us in accents that are clear and secure, that the ancient words will meet our needs, that the ancient words will convict us, will rebuke us, will correct us, will instruct us in the path of righteousness, so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, we do know that there are so many things that come to distract us when we seek to listen to your word. And so we pray that you may grant us an attentive spirit, that you may give us special grace, that you may give us special strength to listen, to hear, both to the reading of your word and to the preaching of the same. We remember Phil Hunt, who is not with us today, traveling for ministry, that you may grant him success, that you may grant him safety, and bring him past us safely, so that together as a family we might continue serving. For the sake of Christ, we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, is in fact a very good continuation of what we learned last Thursday. Last Thursday, Pastor Phil Hunt talked about the voice of sinners, the enticement of sinners, and he mentioned to us that there are two kinds of people in this world, just two. The fool and the wise. I would like to add, therefore, that they are also just two voices in this world. The voice of evil and the voice of wisdom, or the voice of God himself. Solomon, having shown how dangerous it is to hearken to the temptations of Satan, remember how he talked about the enticement of sinners, warning, telling us that we should not listen to the enticement of sinners. Now he turns to us, and he declares to us how dangerous it is not to hearken to the cause of wisdom. By way of clearing the ground, we should avoid looking at prophets as the prophet of Solomon, just Solomon, if you get what I'm saying. In other words, these are not just prophets of the man Solomon. This is scripture. We are therefore looking at the very wisdom of God Himself. This is God's wisdom that has been put down as that has been written down for our learning and our instruction. Therefore, it is not strange that in this passage, wisdom is personified, and what we mean by that is that wisdom is given a person or a personality. This is a person, a wise person, wisdom itself, crying out in the street, in the market, she raises her voice, the Bible says. Interpreters have said that this is Christ Himself. If you read this passage alongside Proverbs chapter 8, you would agree with that interpretation. Others have said, not so different, that this is God Himself who is the wisdom of wisdoms. Wisdom is God Himself. And so observe with me three things by way of trying to teach this passage. Number one, we are going to look at those to whom the call of wisdom is extended. Number two, we shall look at the promise to the repentant. Number three, we shall look at the judgment upon those who refuse to heed the call of wisdom. And lastly, we shall look at the blessing of grace to those who heed the call of wisdom. We observe that this wisdom is out there, making a call. The Bible says wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In other words, this wisdom is available, it is not scarce. This wisdom has taken the initiative to reach out. That's why it makes a lot of sense to say this is God Himself going after fallen man, calling fallen man to Himself. This is God Himself dealing with sinners. This is God trying to reach the hearts of men and women. Observe therefore the people to whom the call is extended. Three persons are given to us. Number one, verse 21, verse 22, rather. How long, O simple ones? The simple ones. Sinners are fond of their simple notions of good, somebody has said, and evil. Their simple prejudices against the ways of God, and they flatter themselves in their wickedness. This word simple means open-minded. In a bad way, this being open-minded is a good way, but this is being naive with such things as the words of life, with such things as matters of life and death. This is talking about a person who is ignorant, the person who refuses to think, the person who will not smoke, the person who will not stage out. The simple ones, those who love being ignorant. There are times when it is okay to be ignorant. It is okay to be ignorant concerning evil things. We have helped as regards to evil. But in the things of life and death, we are called upon to be diligent. We are called upon to be attentive. We are called upon to sit. We are called upon to listen, to sit up and listen, because these are matters of life and death. Alas, the simple person regards as trivial such things. as are matters of love and hope. And soon enough, he will be destroyed. Look at the other person that is addressed here, the scorners. Who are the scorners? The scorners are those who make jest of everything. You know, there are just people who joke about everything. It doesn't matter what we are talking about. They will just find a way of joking about even important and serious things. I have seen the people who make jokes about God's word. I have seen people who make jokes about God himself. I have seen people who make jokes about hell. I have seen people who make jokes about heaven. For example, some people would say, well, it does seem like in the world, all the cool people by their description, all the fun-loving people by their description, if those guys go to hell, then hell won't be such a good place. Or hell will be full of entertainment. Why? Because all the guys that love fun and entertainment will be hell. Therefore, hell is kalalila, as they would say. Nay, that's not what the Bible says. But you see, they are choosing to make jokes about matters that are very serious. And by so doing, they are removing the gravity with which those matters are addressed in the Bible and in the so many movies today, and it does seem intentional. They make fun of Christianity. They depict the Christian as a person who is in fact foolish. They talk about Christianity in a mocking, to mock at God, to mock at Christianity. I forget where I read this quote, but somebody said that the sinner sits on the laps of God and walks at him while sitting on his laps. And he doesn't stop there. He tries to reach out so that he can slap God in the face. This person was describing the rebelliousness with which sinners look at God. It does seem to me that Solomon is in fact looking at the progression of evil. I like to call this progression the three shades of evil or sinners. It does seem to me that he is saying that the simple ones will not just stay in simplicity forever. There is progression. Evil does drag you. And its intention is to drag you to the grave. And so from being simple, you come to the place where you can now walk God. And then observe another person that is being called out here. The fool. The fool is that person who will have all the knowledge. The fool is that person who will in fact understand a matter but do the opposite. That person, Proverbs calls a fool. It is that person who is going to despise the call of wisdom. Proverbs is describing mental stupidity here. And if you read the Bible carefully, all sinners are in this mental stupidity. Proverbs is describing moral stupidity. Proverbs is describing the fool as a godless person. That person who will not embrace godliness. And it's better for us to think of the people that are described here as the progression of people. When we are set on the path of people, it only gets worse. It doesn't get better. It only gets worse. It doesn't remain neutral. It gets worse. The ultimate point is the point of foolishness, where you can be rightly described as foolish, where you can rightly be called as the fool. And notice one thing, he is not simply describing actions. He is not simply describing what these people do. He is describing their very disposition. He is describing their very attitude. For example, he says this about the fool. He says, the fool, what does the fool do? He hates knowledge. The fool loves ignorance. The fool loves evil. This is what he loves. This is the disposition, you see. It's not simply what he does. The Bible is describing character. The Bible is describing an attitude. The Bible is describing a disposition. And therefore, the notion that God hates the sin, but doesn't hate the sinner, is not true. The sin is engraved in the sinner. But notice, it is to such people that God is extending his call. It is to such people that God is stretching out his arms. He is going after these people. Look at what the scripture is saying. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the market, she raises her voice. He is going after those people because he knows that they are on the path of destruction. It's like a father running after his son because he knows his son is on the path of destruction and is running hard after him, pleading with him, come back home, stop being sinful, stop your mockery, stop your folly, it will only end in destruction. This is a picture of a loving God going after sinners. This is a picture of a loving God who sent out Jesus Christ to come and to seek that which was lost. This is a picture of Jesus Christ who is weeping at Jerusalem. I have stretched out my hand, but you will not come to me. I have made calls, but you will not come to me. I'm inviting you, but you will not come to me. Observe, secondly, the promise to the repentant, verse 20. Verse 23 says, if you turn, that is repentance. In other words, these people are going in this direction, in their folly, in their sin, pursuing evil, being sinful, joking about important things, mocking God himself. They are going in this direction, and God's call to them is that repent. God's call to them is turn. In other words, God is saying, stop going in this direction, turn to me, turn in the direction of God himself. So repentance is forsaking the evil and turning to God. Repentance is a 180-degree turn. If thou knowest not 180-degree turn, please see the subject by your mercy. But it is this kind of thing. I think I'm right. That is the 180-degree turn. And that's what God is calling us to do. That's God's call to the world. That's God's call to the sin, to make a 180-degree turn. In other words, to repent, to forsake this, and to turn to God himself. For those of you who think prophets is not evangelistic, when I got saved through a prophet, the preaching from prophets, and it is this prophet that was preached on the day that I got saved. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. The Holy Spirit convicted me. And I saw for the first time that truly the way that I was going, the way that seemed so right to me, you see, I couldn't see that that way was leading to destruction. I saw change by sins. I enjoyed the company of evildoers. I joked with them when they mocked God. We gloried in foolishness, and we thought it was wise. And when God's word came to me saying, there's a rule that seems right to a man, but the end of it is death. I clearly saw that I was on that path. I clearly saw that I was on that way that leads to destruction, that leads to death. I clearly saw that if I continued on that way, I was going to hell. In other words, on that path, in that way, it doesn't get better. It only gets worse. The end is death. The Holy Spirit convicted. And that night, I cried to God to save me. I cried to God to have mercy upon me. I cried to God for forgiveness. For the very first time, my sin was sin for what it is. Sin. For the very first time, I saw how rebellious I was. And I dreaded. I feared for the end. I feared for my life. And so I changed. You see, this call of wisdom, as we see it in the evangelistic messages, is a call to repent and survive. God stretches out his arms. God calls out the world. He's calling the world to himself. Notice one interesting thing. He says, this is the promise to those who will repent, who will change. He says, I will pour out my spirit. It does seem to me that God is describing in part conversion. He is describing salvation. Why is he going to pour out this spirit? Because a sinner cannot convert himself. You see, the people that have been described here cannot just wake up one day and say, I think I have stopped being sinful. The people that have been described here cannot change themselves. The fool cannot just wake up one day and say, Dad, you know what, I think I've stopped being foolish. It doesn't work like that. The person who's been mocking God cannot just wake up one day and say, Dad, I've realized my way. It doesn't work like that. In other words, Proverbs is reminding us that not only is God extending his hope, not only is he extending his invitation, but he will finish this way. He will pour out his spirit upon you so that he quickens you. He brings you to life to see that you need to repent. A second promise in there, that once these people have been changed, once these people have been repented, he will then make his ways known to them. You see, in their case, they will not receive this wisdom. Why? He has told us that fools despise knowledge. In their state, they will not receive the book of Proverbs. In their state, they will not receive this creed. They will not even understand. I mean, what good is it to go out there, to speak to somebody who will not hear you? Change, conversion, a change from within has to take place. And then God says, he's now going to make himself known to them. He's going to teach them more. Because they are now in a position where they can receive instruction. We do not make a right use of reproofs if we don't turn from evil to that which is good. Men cannot turn by any power of their own, but God answers. And this is his answer to anyone who cry out to him. This is his answer: I will pour out my spirit unto you. Special grace is needed to sincere conversion. That grace shall never be denied to anyone who seeks it. It shall not be. Now, so here is the picture. God goes out there crying out, pleading with people, come, come. He is out there even making promises, saying, if you come, this is what I will do. I will change your heart. I will pour out my spirit. The spirit of wisdom shall be put into you. Come, he makes that promise. And I will reveal myself to you. I will make known to you more words of wisdom if you come. That's the picture we have. There's a change of tone at verse 24. God still. He says, because I have called and you refuse to listen. In other words, I have cried out. I have done everything and you have refused. I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. In other words, music has continued to play at the market. Conversations have continued to take place in the midst of this call. Business has continued as usual. It has gone, they have nothing. And this is what happens with the gospel message, with the gospel call. You are out there preaching your lungs out, and people go about their business, and people look at you like a mad person. People look at you like you have nothing important to do. And so they go about with their business. In fact, if they could speak, they could tell you that you are disturbing us. We have business to do here. But notice, there's a judgment that is coming. In other words, this very God, this merciful God, is also a God of judgment. And this is what he says in verse 25. Because you have ignored all my counsel and you have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at you when calamity strikes. You see, evil in itself has destruction wrapped inside it. But we also need to realize that God does come in judgment. He judges. And he will be. And when he comes for the second time, he is coming as judge. And when he comes, on that day when he comes, he is not coming to save the world, if you understand what I mean. He is coming for those who are eagerly waiting for him, who are eagerly expecting him. He is coming to gather them, to take them home. He is not coming to die on the cross again. He is not coming as a savior, if you like. And notice how this is pictured for us in Proverbs. The picture we are being given here, that there is such a thing as too late to repent. In other words, on that day, if for some reason something hits you and you say, now I believe, I think it's the right time to repent, there's such a thing as late repentance. And so he is saying, you will seek and you will not find. In other words, this voice of wisdom, this gospel call, shall not always be available to you. There's coming a time when it shall not always be available to you. When the time to die comes, for example, it will be too late for you to repent. There's such a thing as too late to repent. This is also describing to us that this privilege shall be removed from the earth. This is also describing to us that the spirit who convicts the world shall be removed from the earth. This privilege shall not always be available. In other words, this is now the point of no return. You must die. You must go to the grave. You must burn in hell. 26. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. Ah, you said to me, but I have been told that God is a merciful God. I have been told that He is always merciful. And so even at the 11th hour, I can repent. What are you now telling me? Well, the Bible is making it very clear that the 11th hour is not always repentance. The Bible is making it clear that they will seek me diligently but do not find me. Why? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my law. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their ways. Life has consequences. Everything we do has consequences. There's a way that seems right to the man, but the end of it is death. There's the narrow way. There's the broad way. They are consequences. They are fruits in the broad way. They are fruits in the narrow way. If you choose, if you persist in the broad way, you will eat the fruit of the fruit, and it is destruction. Observe with me lastly the blessing of grace to those who heed the call in verse 33. For the sake of a bit of context, let's begin at verse 32. He says, for the simple are killed by their attendants, still talking about his judgment, and the complacency of fools destroys them. Then he says this, but whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at peace without dread of disaster. This is describing that state that comes when God forgives your sin. That state that comes when God seals your destiny. This is describing that state that comes. State of peace to the soul. When peace, like a river, attended my way. When sorrows, like sea, do not go. Whatever the case, this is my state. It is well. It is well. It is my soul. There's no peace with the wicked. But there is peace with those who have embraced righteousness. There is peace given to those who have heeded the call of wisdom. This is the type of wisdom that will give you peace. This is the type of wisdom that does not carry with it regret. This is the type of wisdom that brings peace. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the promise of the Lord Jesus. Let me end with this. If you do not know this state of peace, if you do not know Jesus Christ, if you can't remember a day when you said no to sin and turned to God for salvation, if you can't remember a day when you cried out for forgiveness, if you can't remember that day, may I encourage you to make this your day of salvation. May I exhort you that today and today you may call upon God Himself to save you through Jesus Christ, our Savior.